Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, Question and Answer 21. Question: Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? Answer: The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be both God and man, in two distinct natures, in one person, forever. The first thing to note about the answer to this catechism question is that there is only one Redeemer. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If individuals come to you and say, "Well, Christianity is too narrow. You believe in a narrow religion." And you say, answer, "Yes, that's true. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through Jesus Christ. He is the only Redeemer of God's elect. There are not many ways to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. And we believe in Jesus Christ. If you confess Him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not that you confess Allah as the only true God. Allah is not the only true God. And Muhammad is not a prophet. No, Allah is a false God, and Muhammad is a false prophet. This is true from the Christian perspective, and the Christian perspective is the true perspective. And so there is only one Redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice how the Catechism puts it, Lord. And in Romans 10:9, which I just quoted, where Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, what Paul is telling us is that you must confess that Jesus is the divine being who came in the flesh. Yes, He is God who became man. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ. The proof text given by the Westminster Divines is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so there we have it. Only one Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1, and John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ was and is the eternal Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity, and as such, He is the eternal God. More on that in a moment. Who, being the eternal God, became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of God. And so it is that our Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man. The classic text in this regard is Philippians chapter 2, and we look at verses 5 and following. just to get the context, listen to what Philippians 2, 5 and following have to say. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. No. Before the incarnation, before he took human form, he existed as the second person of the Trinity, as a most pure spirit within the Godhead. And as you understand this is the case, what did Jesus Christ do? Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't regard being equal with the other persons of the Godhead within the Trinity, within the Godhead, a thing to be grasped and retain. But he emptied himself. You see, what happened here was that Jesus Christ set aside his divine prerogatives as the second person of the Trinity, and taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. In other words, he submitted himself to the plans and purposes of his Father and entered into the world as a man in order to suffer and die to pay the penalty due to others for their sins. This was part of God's plan. And so he set aside his divine prerogatives as Lord in the Godhead and became man. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We'll look at this more in the next question and answer, but the point to be made is simply this. In order to suffer death, Jesus Christ had to become a man. It was necessary for him to become a man. And so this is exactly what he did. And so as the Catechism tells us, listen to the Catechism question and answer again. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. Here is the great mystery of the incarnation. When the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, became man, he became man and continueth to be both God and man in two distinct natures in one person. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 indicates that we are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. And who does Paul tell us is our great God and Savior? Listen to the text again. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is this Jesus Christ who became man? He is God. He is both God and Savior. And so when you look at the man Christ Jesus, you are seeing a man, yes. In one sense, you are seeing a man. But you are also seeing God. God who became flesh. This is why Paul says, you and I must confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You must confess that the man Christ Jesus is the divine being. He is God in human form. And he is God in human form, that is, in two distinct natures in one person. There is not somehow a melting together of the divine nature and the human nature to form a third composite nature. No, not at all. When you look at Jesus Christ, you do not see a third composite nature, some sort of melding together of humanity and divinity, but you see God in human form. This is the miraculous thing with regard to the Trinity. And so the Catechism confesses that he was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. And so there are not two natures that are somehow mixed together that form a third entity, and there is not somehow two persons that are attached together, a divine person and a human person that are somehow attached together to form Jesus Christ the Lord. No. There are two distinct natures in one person. This is the idea of the incarnation. When you look at Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, there are several quotations with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1. And we get an indication of God the Father speaking to Jesus Christ the Son and calling Jesus Christ the Son God. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Jesus Christ is God. The man, see, here's the incredible thing again. The man, Christ Jesus, is God. I want to go back now to Philippians chapter 2 and point out another part of the text that seems to be relevant here, that seems to be important here, to which you should take notice of here. Verse 9 in Philippians chapter 2. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. You see, here is the sequence about which Paul is speaking, that our Lord Jesus Christ became man, and verse 8 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It was the man Christ Jesus who died on the cross, and God had to become man in order to experience death. And this man, Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul says in verse 9, God highly exalted him and bestowed him upon him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Paul is here taking a little snippet from Isaiah 45 and applying it to Jesus Christ, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. The little snippet from Isaiah 45 is the words, every knee will bow. And so let's go back to Isaiah 45 and look at the text, just two verses in Isaiah 45, verses 20. Let's see, the middle of verse 21 and verse 22 and verse 23. I want to make sure I get it straight. Beginning at the middle of verse 21, is it not I the Lord, and there is no other God before me, a righteous God and a Savior, there is none except me. In Isaiah, the word Lord is Jehovah or Yahweh. Isaiah is speaking about Yahweh. Isaiah is speaking about Jehovah, the great God of heaven. Is it not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior? There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all ends of the earth. You see, God, the great God of heaven, is calling to men and women in the world to turn to him and be saved. Turn to me and be saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. See, the great confession of the Jewish people was simply this: the Lord, he is God. That is, Jehovah, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. The Lord, he is God, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the words have gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. Every knee will bow to me, says Jehovah. That's the Old Testament text. And so, what does the Apostle Paul do? Well, going back to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 and 10, Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, he, that is Jesus Christ, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus is the great God of heaven. He is both God and man in two distinct natures, in one person, forever. And the words forever are given this proof text by the Westminster Divines, Hebrews 7:24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus Christ is the great high priest who sacrificed himself and bore the sins of many, shedding his blood to pay for the sins of many. And he is ever the great high priest who now intercedes for his people. He is at the right hand of God the Father. Having been raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, he, in human bodily form, glorified, albeit, stands pleading the case of individuals like you and me. And so our Lord Jesus Christ stands before the Father and says of you and says of me, I shed my blood and died for this one and this one and this one. And in the words of the Catechism, he was the eternal Son of God who became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. This is the beauty and the wonder of the Incarnation. We're going to explore this further in Catechism Answer 22 when we look at how our Lord Jesus Christ became man. But for now, understand the nature of the Incarnation. Hear the Catechism, question and answer once again. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be both God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. As I say, this, dear friends, is the glory of the Incarnation. Thanks for listening.